Greetings and welcome to today's webinar for the pre-I-1056 policy update. The policy development support team at ICANN presents this presentation before each ICANN meeting to help highlight the various policy and advisory work being done by you, the community, at the ICANN meetings and throughout the period between those meetings in various teleconferences and conference calls, as well as soon to be a face-to-face meeting in Helsinki. This meeting is a first with the many important firsts, I must say. It is our first ICANN meeting in Helsinki, the first meeting of our new president and CEO, Jorin Marby, and the first meeting following the new community-proposed format, a policy forum. As you know, ICANN holds three international public meetings per year around the world, and these are free and open to all our stakeholders, whether in person or remotely. But this ICANN meeting will be different. What is changing? The ICANN 56 Policy Forum will be a four-day meeting with sessions focused on policy and advice development work. The supporting organizations and advisory committees of ICANN have taken the lead in organizing the program. This is the core work of ICANN, community-driven, consensus policy and advice development for the top level of the Internet's naming system, and also to help facilitate the use of other unique Internet identifiers. Our mornings will be dedicated to individual and joint meetings of the supporting organization and advisory committees, their councils, and various working groups. The afternoon sessions will feature cross-community discussions exploring a variety of topics, including ongoing policy and advice development efforts. There will be no formal opening ceremony, an informal one, in fact, of greeting, no public meeting of the ICANN board, and no public forums. Networking receptions each night will allow participants to interact and engage outside of our work sessions. Of course, we'll see very active discussions as the working groups will do their this work. And the discussion groups in the afternoon will raise important topics that are of interest to the ICANN community and their various stakeholders. We will also have 15 individuals from various universities in Europe who've been selected to be part of the ICANN 56 Policy Forum as our fellows program, and that will be an important element as well in the meeting in Helsinki. And we will also announce the recipients of this year's Multi-Stakeholder Ethos Award, which was launched to recognize the ICANN participants who invest their time and efforts in the activities of policy and advice development. So with that, we've changed our format a little bit to focus on the cross-community sessions that will be in the afternoon. These are topic-driven sessions. And that will be followed by an update of what each SO supporting organization or each advisory committee will be also working on or focused on as priorities during the meeting in Helsinki. But as you can see by this slide, there are a number of very interesting cross-community discussions linked to topics such as the auction proceeds from the new GTLD, top-level domain program, a framework of principles on the cross-community working groups, next new GTLD subsequent procedures for policy development work, the new registry directory service, replacement for WHOIS, and other interesting topics that will be organized around various stakeholders coming to give their advice, talk about their interests, and share their comments with the groups that are leading discussions for these afternoon sessions. With that, I'll turn it over to my policy team to go through some of the highlights of these sessions, and just to remind you that you can ask a question in the chat at any time, and we'll try to answer it. And at the end, of course, we will have the URL linking to the slides and the recording for your use after this session. Again, we welcome you, and I turn it over to Marika Konings to talk about some cross-community topics. Marika, the floor is yours.
This is Julie Hedlund, and I'll be filling in for Marika Konings on this first of the cross-community topics. I'm based in the ICANN Washington, D.C. office, and hello and welcome to everyone who's joined today. The topic I'm going to cover is the charter for the Cross-Community Working Group on the Use of New GTLD Auction Proceeds. So a few things to point to concerning this topic. First of all, it's important to note that auctions are the mechanism of last resort to resolve string contention within the new GTLD program. Significant funding has accrued as a result of several auctions, and that funding is currently at $105.6 million U.S. dollars. The community started discussion on how to deal with funds at ICANN 52. Following a workshop on the topic at ICANN 53, a discussion paper was prepared by staff and public consultation opened. Focus on development of framework of disbursements of funds. Following the review of the public comments on the discussion paper, the GNSO Council Chair reached out to all SOs and ACs to identify volunteers to participate in a drafting team to develop a charter for a cross-community working group, and that is this cross-community working group that now will be has been working for some time on this topic and will be meeting in Helsinki. So a couple of things to expect here in the ICANN 56 meeting in Helsinki. So first of all, there is now a drafting team, a cross-community working group charter drafting team. And this drafting team has volunteers from all SOs and ACs except for the CCNSO, so that's the ALAC, ASO, GAC, RSAC, and SAC. The chair is Jonathan Robinson, and the drafting team is developing the charter for the cross-community working group on new GTLD auction proceeds, and that will then be for consideration by the SOs and ACs for adoption. They've been meeting since February, and they will hold a public session at ICANN 56, this will be a session in which you can participate, and some of the background materials that you should look for in preparation for this meeting is to review the discussion paper, and also the charter will be posted at the link shown here. It's not up there right at this moment, but it will be posted prior to the Helsinki meeting, so that would be important to look at. And the charter will be accompanied by a memo that outlines the legal and fiduciary constraints as a result of ICANN's bylaws and status, and a statement of principles which the drafting team believes should guide the work of the cross-community working group. So how should you prepare? As I just said, important to look at the discussion paper now here and also to review the charter as well. And let me just briefly cover the next steps. So we will have the discussion at ICANN 56. There'll be the review of community input received there, updates to the charter, and then submitted a draft charter to the SOs and ACs for their consideration, then adoption of the charter, and finally the creation of the cross-community working group on new GTLD auction proceeds. And that is it for that particular topic item. Thank you very much, and I'd like to turn things over to my colleague, Mary Wong.
Thank you very much, Julie. Hello, everybody. My name is Mary Wong. I'm a Senior Policy Director with ICANN, and it's my pleasure today to speak to you about another cross-community effort that will also be a topic for one of the afternoon cross-community sessions that David mentioned a while ago. This is the framework of principles for future cross-community working groups, and the work is being done by a group that is affectionately called CWG Squared because it is a cross-community working group that's working on principles for future cross-community working groups. And it's a group that was charted by the CCNSO and the GNSO councils in order to develop a set of uniform principles and guidelines that will be used to refer to the formation, the chartering, the organization and operations, as well as the closure and post-closure implementation of recommendations of a cross-community working group. What may be interesting to folks on this webinar today is that the drafting team for the charter for the new GTLD auction proceeds that Julie has just talked about has actually used some of the preliminary guidelines as well as a template charter that this present cross-community working group has developed to guide their work. What's also interesting is that the framework was in draft form earlier this year and published for public comment, and so ICANN 56 is going to be quite an important meeting in terms of finalizing this very important piece of work. Important because up to now, as many folks know, at ICANN we have not had this kind of set of uniform principles that provide a framework for cross-committee working groups, but that also preserves the flexibility that they may need depending on their specific subject matter. So at ICANN 56, what the cross-community working group here will do is they will conduct an open community session. And this is really meant to inform the final stage of its work. As I mentioned, a draft framework was published for public comment earlier this year, and the idea is that following further community discussion at ICANN 56, the working group will go back and finish the final document such that it can be sent to its chartering organizations for adoption very shortly after the Helsinki meeting. As such, we hope that you will join the group at a session on Wednesday afternoon in Helsinki. And in terms of preparing for that session, we don't have the link up right now because the cross-community working group actually had a meeting less than 2 hours before this webinar where they went over a draft final framework document. And it's our hope that that final document, in draft form at least, will be released within the next week so that you can take a look at it for the session in Helsinki on Wednesday. I'm actually just going to skip back one slide, if you don't mind, because the other point I'd like to make is that in terms of the session in Helsinki, the group wants to focus on a number of key topics that seem to be of major or significant community concern, judging by the public comments. They're listed here in the dark blue box in the middle, and that includes ensuring diversity in terms of membership of future cross-community working groups. Secondly, the question of allocating budget, staff and community resources for future work efforts like this. Bearing in mind, though, that although the two most recent and major cross-committee working groups informed the work of this group, that would be the Stewardship Transition and Accountability Working Groups, those two groups are viewed by this working group as the exception rather than the norm in terms of the subject matter, the profile, the size of the group, and so on. Nevertheless, future groups may also require resources that are beyond the norm, and so the group thought this would be an important discussion to have in Helsinki. The other two topics it'd like to focus on in Helsinki includes the definition of consensus, as well as the role of a cross-community working group in implementing its recommendations. So basically, four major topic areas. And so even if you don't have the chance to read the final framework document, hopefully you will have some comments and suggestions that you can provide to and engage with the working group in Helsinki. As I mentioned, this is a key milestone for the group, and the idea is that the final framework will be adopted by the chartering organizations, will be sent to and accepted by the other ICANN supporting organizations and advisory committees, and then it will be applied to future cross-community working groups. So thanks for your attention. And on that note, I'm going to hand things over to my colleague, Steve Chan, who will speak about the next cross-community topic and session. Steve?
Thanks, Mary. This is Steve Chan from staff. And I'll be discussing the new GTLD subsequent procedures policy development process, which, as Mary mentioned, is one of the topics that will be a subject for a cross-community session in Helsinki. So this policy development effort is to consider the existing policy from the GNSO's 2007 final report on the introduction of new GTLDs, as well as experiences from the ensuing 2012 round of the new GTLD program. And so ultimately, it could lead to improvements or refinements or clarifications to those existing policy recommendations, but as well, it could also result in brand new policy recommendations. And so, sorry, I have to advance the slide. What's important to keep in mind is that this PDP is not alone in looking at new GTLDs, and there are a number of other community efforts underway, the outputs of which the PDP working group would be expected to consider prior to arriving at any final recommendations. And so what to expect at ICANN 56, there's an open cross-community session scheduled for Tuesday, where the co-chairs of the PDP working group will discuss what has been already worked on by the working group and where the work is expected to go in the near future. So in addition to those updates, there will be brief updates provided by the CWG on the use of country and territory names, as well as the competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice review team. And then finally, for that cross-community session, various members of the community will be moderating segments of the session dedicated to topics of broad community interest, which would include things like community applications, promoting applications from underserved regions, as well as safeguards and public interest commitments, or PICs, among other topics. And then so the last thing on this particular slide is just a link to the working group's charter as well as the work plan. So I mentioned this on when just talking about the first slide. This PDP working group is not the only effort related to new GTLDs, and this is a very important point to make. And so there are a number of efforts, different efforts that are important and underway within the community. So the first one on this page is the Competition, Consumer Trust, and Consumer Choice Review Team. And this is a effort that's required by the affirmation commitments. You also have the CWG on the use of country and territory names, which I also mentioned that's going to be provide an update during the cross-community session. And that group is possibly going to develop a framework for country and territory names at the top level. You also have the rights protection mechanisms policy development process, which will be discussed a little bit later, where the outputs of that PDP could require incorporation into the work of the new GTLD PDP, for instance. The base registry agreement might need to incorporate the outputs there. You also have various efforts underway within the SOs and ACs, and then you also have the outstanding recommendations related to intergovernmental organizations and non-governmental organizations. And so really the takeaway I'm trying to provide here is that there's a number of moving parts related to new GTLDs that need to be properly coordinated and accounted for by the new GTLD subsequent procedures, PDP. So it's a wide community effort, and we all really need to be coordinated and work together on these things. So what are the next steps for the PDP working group? The next things coming up are the cross-community discussion at ICANN 56. The PDP working group is also expected to have face-to-face sessions where they'll continue working through their work plan. And so what will happen after ICANN 56 is the working group will incorporate the input received from Helsinki, as well as inputs received from solicitations for input from the various community organizations, They'll also determine if there are any dependencies and being able to reach any preliminary recommendations or final recommendations. So some of the dependencies could be the result of all those community efforts I've mentioned that are related to new GTLDs. And so finally, just a quick look at where the PDP working group is at this point. So what the working group has currently looked at are 6 high-level overarching subjects, which is out of actually 38 total subjects that are defined in the working group's charter. So an example of one of these overall subjects is TLD categorization or differentiation, which could be including things like a dot brand or closed generics or community applications. And so this is thought of as an overarching topic because creating categories of application types may have downstream effects, for instance, on the evaluation criteria as well as the base agreement where possibly multiple versions may be necessary. So on these 6 subjects, preliminary discussions by the working group have been held, and they've also formally sought input from the community. And so in the future, the working group anticipates diving into the remaining 32 subjects via a series of subgroup teams, and this is expected to happen shortly after ICANN 56. And the working group intends to work through the 38 subjects in a consistent and thorough manner where preliminary discussions are held, input from the community is sought, and they'll integrate or consider inputs from other community efforts, and then only after those things are done would they be expected to reach recommendations, either preliminary or final. And so that's where the working group stands at this point, and it's tackling a large volume of work, and there's a lot of work to be done in the future. And we look forward to the community's participation in ICANN 56. And so with that, I'll turn it over to Lisa. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve, and hello all. I see that there was a question from Steve Metallitz in chat to you, Steve. Would you like to take that before I continue?
Sure. Thanks, Lisa. This is Steve again. The cross-community session, if that's what you're referring to, will be broader than the 6 high-level overarching subjects. They'll also touch on, so I think I might have mentioned it, it's going to be topics of broad community interest, so things that the ALAC and the GAC would also be interested in. And those things are community applications, geographical names, I believe, the CCTRT. And so the co-chairs of the working group are anticipating talking about the overarching subjects to a small degree, but the bulk of the cross-community session will be on the topics of broad discussion. And so I'll try to type in the specific subjects in the chat. And so I don't want to take up too much time here, but I'll put them in the chat for you, Steve. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Steve Chan. Again, this is Lisa Pfeiffer. I work with Senior Policy Director Marika Konings, who couldn't be here in this session of today's webinar. And I work with her on the policy development process on next-generation GTLD registration directory services. At ICANN 56, this PDP working group will be hosting 2 sessions, a cross-community session on registration directory services on Monday afternoon, as well as a face-to-face working group session on Tuesday morning. And we do hope that many of you will participate in one or both of these open sessions to provide your input on these topics. And I do see a number of my colleagues on the working group are actually present in today's webinar. So to prepare you all, let's get started with a brief look at the history behind this PDP. As many of you know, WHOIS was created back in the 1980s as a collection and publication of domain name registration data, which was provided to help Internet operators identify and contact individuals or entities that were responsible for the operation of network resources. That's the origin. Although ICANN's requirements for domain name registration data collection, access, and accuracy for GTLD registries has undergone important changes over the years, including some specifications within the 2013 Registrar Accreditation Agreement, WHO is policy and the underlying protocol have been the subject of debate for nearly 15 years now. Comprehensive WHO is policy reform does remain the source of long-running discussion relating to challenging issues such as purpose, accuracy, privacy, anonymity, cost, policing, intellectual property protection, security, and much more. To address these issues, the board launched an initiative back in 2012, which it recently reconfirmed for a board-initiated policy development process to define the purpose of collecting, maintaining, and providing access to GTLD registration data and to consider the safeguards for protecting that data using the recommendations that were developed by the expert working group on this topic as an input to and, if appropriate, as the foundation for a new GTLD policy. This entire effort is what we refer to as Next Generation GTLD Registration Directory Services, or RDS. So what are the questions that this PDP working group is expected to answer during the first phase of its work? Well, as a starting point, this PDP is expected to reach consensus on the fundamental requirements for GTLD registration data, independent of the system or implementation that might eventually be used to fulfill those requirements. As part of that effort, the working group is expected to consider users and purposes as well as associated access, accuracy, data element, and privacy requirements. Once the working group has agreed on those fundamental requirements, it must try to reach a consensus answer on the question as to whether a new policy framework and next generation system is actually needed to meet those requirements, or whether the current WHO is policy framework and system can be used to do so. Should a new policy framework and next generation system be recommended, the work group would then continue to address further policy requirements and then move on to phases 2 and 3, potentially, to draft detailed policies and implementation guidance. Now, given this background, why should you participate in the cross-community session, and what can you expect? The working group has been developing a list of possible requirements for registration directory services by reviewing all of the relevant documents identified as key input sources. The session in Helsinki offers you an opportunity to voice your own WHO is concerns and thoughts, as well as suggest any possible requirements that you may have for registration data or directory services. Adding to the initial list, which will then be deliberated upon in the working group as the next step of its phase one tasks. Now, in addition to reviewing the preparatory information that was posted on the link at the previous slide, and I should note that that includes a monthly update report, a beginner's tutorial, and a draft list of possible requirements, we encourage you all to prepare for this session by reviewing the charter questions that are listed on this slide. And I see that the bullets are slightly different than intended, but this is a list of 12 questions in no particular order. You're encouraged to take a look at these questions and think about your own possible requirements associated with these charter questions, especially the first 5 questions on this list, which is who should have access to registration data and for what purpose, what steps should be taken to control data access, what steps should be taken to improve data accuracy, what data should be collected, stored, and disclosed, and what steps are needed to protect data and privacy. Now, working group members will share a few example possible requirements during this cross-community session, but the priority for that cross-community session will be for you, non-working group members, to come forward, share your perspective, share your ideas, and to help the working group begin its deliberation with a comprehensive and inclusive list of potential requirements. In addition to the cross-community session on Monday afternoon, I should note that there is also a face-to-face working group meeting scheduled to take place on Tuesday morning. That, too, is open to all ICANN 56 attendees, whether you're in person or remote. During that face-to-face working session, the working group will be drilling down on some near-term tasks. That includes reviewing inputs that are received both during the cross-community session and through early outreach efforts to stakeholder groups, constituencies, supporting organizations, and advisory committees. It is hoped that the broad community perspectives that you all share at HealthMeki will help the working group prepare for its deliberations, which come next. Once the initial list of possible requirements has been finalized and organized, the working group will commence its deliberations on those possible requirements with the goal of trying to reach agreement on what is required from a GTLD registration directory service policy framework. Based on the outcome of its deliberations, the working group will publish preliminary conclusions for public comment. And as the working group is expected to address, at minimum, the 11 charter questions on the previous slide, this may likely happen in stages. At the end of phase one, a decision point will be reached regarding continuation on the phases two and three. That would be detailed policy definition and implementation guidance. And that concludes my introduction to the next generation RDS topic, and I'll now turn it over to Mary Wong for her remarks on rights protection mechanisms.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Hello again, everybody. It's Mary Wong again, and it's my privilege now to take you through another community-oriented session, which is also a GNSO policy development process. It is the third GNSO policy development process that was started recently following on the next generation RDS that Lisa just talked about, and the new GTLD subsequent procedures, PDP, that Steve presented on just a while ago. I noticed that one of the co-chairs of the review of all trademark-related rights protection mechanisms in all GTLDs is on the call. Hello, Phil, as well as a few members of the working group. So it's nice to see everybody here. Basically, like the other two GNSO PDPs, this particular one is of cross-community interest and impact because of the scope of what it covers and because, as Steve Chan mentioned earlier, it is a parallel effort that relates very closely, particularly in this phase of its work, with some of the other efforts relating to new GTLDs. This working group is conducting the PDP in two phases, and this particular phase, which is at the beginning of its work, looks at all the rights protection mechanisms, or RPMs, that were developed specifically for the 2012 new GTLD program. On the completion of phase one, the working group will then move to phase two to review the long-standing consensus policy that a lot of folks know, that is the Uniform Dispute Resolution Policy, or the UDRP, which to date has not been comprehensively reviewed. At the end of both these phases, it is hoped that the working group will have a set of recommendations that will lead to a consistent framework for future reviews of all these mechanisms, the development of additional mechanisms, and of course, any needed modifications to the ones we have at the moment, particularly if we are looking at a further expansion or a number of expansions of the GTLD domain name space. As I mentioned, this group has just begun its work, but ICANN56 will be quite an important point for the group because of two sessions that the group is conducting in Helsinki. The first is the cross-community open dialogue session that many other groups that you've heard about are also conducting. And this is viewed as important by the group because it's here that it would like to seek community feedback on the methodology that it proposes to adopt, particularly for its review of the phase one RPMs. In addition, because the group is also starting to embark on data gathering for its review of the 2012 new GTLD RPMs, the community is also being asked to provide ideas and suggestions for where and how to get data sources and potential analyses that can be done from that. That particular session will take place on Monday afternoon, immediately after the one on next generation RDS. The working group will then have an open meeting, open to all, on Thursday morning, where it will review the community feedback that's been obtained and look more deeply into some of its current work, which actually commences with one of the new GTLD RPMs, and that is the trademark post-delegation dispute resolution procedure. because this is a very comprehensive policy update webinar that we have prepared for you today, we won't spend too much time on individual topics, but as I've noted, phase one will focus on the RPMs developed for the 2012 new GTLD program round. And at the end of phase one, the working group is required to produce a preliminary report for public comment. It therefore shows that as of now, the working group is pretty much trying to coordinate and work in tandem with the other parallel efforts that are related to new GTLDs, not only the new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP group, but also some of the other efforts such as the Competition Consumer Trust and Consumer Choice Review Team, and specific efforts such as the ongoing review of the Trademark Clearinghouse. So what the working group is hoping to do is to develop a series of preliminary recommendations at the end of phase one that takes into account the work of all of these groups, the data, and the analysis that they may produce as this working group focuses on the RPM issues. In this particular slide, the expected next steps are summarized at a very high level, but what you might want to take note of are the dates that are on this slide. This is based on the current working group's work plan. As many of you know, the work plans of a number of groups may change over time depending on the progress that it makes on the work and milestones it has. And in a case like this, dependencies on the output of the other efforts. But you see here that the group is going more or less sequentially through the new GTLD 2012 RPMs, and it hopes to publish the report completing this phase one review towards the end of 2017. So we still have a ways to go, and we hope that you'll join us in Helsinki. On that note, I'm going to hand over to my colleague Bart Boswinkel, who will talk about operating plan, budgets, and I believe on country names too. Bart.
Thank you, Mary. This is a bit a change of topics in the sense of this will not be very focused on policy and policy-related matters. I first want to talk to you about a cross-community session focusing on the operational aspects of ICANN. The background for this session is effectively was a meeting in Marrakesh between the CCNSO Strategic and Operational Planning Working Group and Xavier Calves, the CFO of ICANN. Some of you may know the CCNSO Strategic and Operational Planning Working Group. That's a working group that's been consistently providing input and feedback on ICANN's ops plan and budget and strategic plan since 2009. And the meeting in Marrakesh was more around how to take that interaction and dialogue to the next stage, to the next level. The SOP has been constantly providing input on the data collection methods used by ICANN up to the point where they are very satisfied with the way it's happening right now. And they finally wanted to start focusing on the real substance, and that is on the operational side of ICANN, and have a dialogue and start a dialogue on, say, the goals ICANN wants to achieve, how they measure the goals themselves, where they are in the process, and on the key performance indicators, etc. So following that dialogue and taking it to the next level, and Helsinki being an opportunity to start new initiatives, the Xavier and the SOP working group and other ICANN staff agreed to start a dialogue on some, I would say, the topics on, say, within the current operational plan, which attracts a lot of attention from not just the SOP or the CCTLD community, but broader community. So as you'll see, and as you see on the slides, this session is to launch effectively and embed a cross-community dialogue on ICANN's operations and in ICANN's planning cycle. In particularly, it's about high-level operational goals, what ICANN wants to achieve, so the key performance indicator and the related metrics, and have a dialogue and create mutual understanding of what is what ICANN wants to achieve and how it measures its progress in these areas. So the format will be, say, Xavier Calves will be the chair of the session. There will be presentations from two of the global leaders of ICANN staff, and there will be a moderator of the chair of the CCNSO SOP working group, Giovanna Seppia, and they'll focus on three areas. First is the outreach, ICANN's outreach strategy and program, what it wants to achieve, the goals, KPIs, etc. The second one topic will be ICANN's hub strategy, and the third one will be around ICANN's human resources policies, goals, etc. When will it happen? It will happen on Tuesday on the 28th at Veranda 2. So that's the room where the CCNSO will have its day meetings, and it will be from 5 to 6:30. Over the next day or two, other communities, especially those who were interested in the in ICANN's finances and who have provided input and feedback on the ICANN's operational plan and budget for this or for the upcoming fiscal year, will be approached and will be invited to actively participate in this dialogue. Now, moving over to the next cross-community session under the auspices of the CCNSO or organized through the CCNSO is the Country and Other Geographic Names Forum. Again, this originates from the cross-community on the use of country and territory names as TLDs, but it will be broader, and the CCWG will not actively participate in the discussions itself. They want to take the results and listen very carefully to the community dialogue on the different topics and issues relating to the use of country and other geographic names. In particular, what they are seeking and try to understand, given the divergence of views, not just across communities, but also within communities, is whether a harmonized framework would be feasible, because that would, that's one of the, I would say, goals of this working group. And they now discussing the use of three letter codes as TLDs. However, it will really get hard when they start reaching the point of discussing the use of full and short names of country and territories. And therefore, a sense of the community and engaging the community in this dialogue was considered very important. Again, the format will be a chair will do a brief overview of the current policies that exist, including some examples around three letter codes and two letter codes, which have already been discussed within the working group. And then two moderators, one from the GNSO, one from the CCNSO, not members of the working group, will seek input from people actively contributed to the discussion and the broader audience. So this the working group hopes this will be a very lively and interactive discussion on these topics. The session will be conducted on Wednesday 29th from 3:15 until 4:45. It's not in Hall A. It will be in the Helsinki Hall, as far as I understand. So these were the two brief updates on two, little bit different cross-community sessions. I would like to hand over to Carlos Reyes now, who will start the specific SONAC related updates. Carlos, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Bart. Hello, everyone. My name is Carlos Reyes. As Bart mentioned, we're transitioning away from the briefings on the various cross-community sessions and now over to specific updates from the supporting organizations and advisory committees. We'll begin with the address supporting organization. The address supporting organization is essentially the home of the numbers community at ICANN. And within the ASO is the ASO Address Council. The ASO Address Council is responsible for overseeing and managing the global policy development process of the numbers community. And the Address Council is composed of representatives from the three operational regions, which correspond with the regional internet registries. I want to specifically define what a global policy means. Global policies require specific action or outcomes by the IANA. All five of the regional internet registries must approve the same policy, which is then sent to the Address Council for ratification, and then ultimately the board for consideration as well. Some examples of global policies include post-exhaustion of IPv4 allocation mechanisms. This is from 2012, and the allocation of IPv6 blocks. From 2006. There are currently no global policy proposals. But there has been a lot of policy development taking place at the regional level, which is how the numbers community conducts their policy development work. Three RIR meetings have taken place since ICANN 55 in Marrakesh, and the regions are currently focusing on two broad areas. One, Internet number resource transfer policies. This is both within regions and between regions, and that relates to IPv4 addresses and autonomous system numbers. And then second, IPv6 allocation policies. Some broader updates from the numbers side of our community. The service level agreement between ICANN and the RIRs has been approved. This is, of course, the SLA, which establishes the relationship between ICANN and the RIRs with regard to the IANA numbering services. There were six drafts of the SLA, and we expect the final draft to be signed in Helsinki. Also, the ASO Address Council is very close to making an announcement about Board Seat 10, and this person will replace Kuo Wei Wu at ICANN 57. And with that, we go back to Bart Boswinkle to provide an update on CCNSO activities. Bart?
Thank you, Carlos. So now I'll allude a little bit more to the discussions on Tuesday and Wednesday morning by the CCNSO. The major topic will be around the launch of a CCNSO policy development process on a review mechanism for decisions relating to the delegation, transfer, revocation, and retirement of CCTLDs and the retirement of CCTLDs itself. What will be discussed is more or less the scope of the initial launch. One of the major discussions also in the context of the other major projects going on right now within ICANN is whether to launch one or two PDPs and whether to do work on these two major topics sequentially or in parallel. The CCNSO Council is very well aware of the fact that, say, the due to the transition work and as with the kickoff of Workstream 2 and the implementation work, volunteers are are thin spread. So that's one of the reasons for first having a fulsome discussion with the CCTLD community present and also with the GAC. This topic around the PDP is also one of the topics that will be discussed between the CCNSO and the GAC. So the initial timeline the council is looking at is launch of the PDP in Helsinki, meaning request an issue report, drafting of the issue report, etc. That will then lead up to a decision whether or not to initiate the PDP, so really start working on one or two PDPs at the Hyderabad meeting. As I said, the CCNSO Council is well aware of, other activities going on, especially the transition-related activities. And as you see, the progress on the implementation of the CWG stewardship and the progress of implementations and next step of the accountability are two other major topics on the CCNSO agenda in Helsinki. Both will focus on the progress to date, again, with a different perspective, of course. The implementation will also focus on the selection and appointment of members to the Customer Standing Committee and to the ASERC, again, one of those new abbreviations. And what is also important, again, for both sessions is what is expected from the CCNSO and broader CCTLD community between Helsinki and Hyderabad? What can they expect that needs to be done in order to make the transition successful? It is not just the CSC and ASERC, but it's very clear there need to be processes and procedures in place around the CSC, ASERC, and other initiatives and groups and committees, and with the CCWG accountability proposal very clearly around the empowered communities, the CCNSO needs to focus on some processes and procedures, and it wants to have an understanding what is needed. One particular thing that will be at the CWG accountability session as well is the results of a council survey on its accountability and transparency towards the broader CCTLD community will be presented to the CCTLD present. It's not only to fill in, as input for the work stream two, but also for the work of the council itself around developing its guidelines for the selection of councillors and of council meetings. So if you want to have more information, you can go to the CCNSO meetings agenda. And I now want to hand over to Marika, or Mary, I think Mary this time, around the GNSO update. Mary? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you, Bart. And it is Mary Wong, although it has not been an unknown phenomenon for Marika and I to be mixed up with each other. So we are now talking about the generic name supporting organization and the activities that you can expect from the GNSO at ICANN 56. Before I delve into my presentation slides, though, Bart, just to let you know, if you haven't seen it, that Steve Metallitz has asked a question in the chat, And I don't know if you'd like to take that orally now, wait till later, or type your response to him. I'll wait just a second.
Let me do it. It's one or two PDPs. To be clear, I'll do it the other way around. Currently, there is no policy in place to retire CCTLDs. So, and some CCTLDs have been retired in the past. Probably the last one was .AN for the Netherlands Antilles, because that country code was removed from the ISO 3166. So there needs to be a policy in place the transition, to have a full set of policies. The second policy or topic which is interdependent is around a review mechanism on decisions relating to the delegation, transfer, revocation, and retirement of CCTLDs. And this is the result of, or directly follows, the discussions of the CWG stewardship and the CCWG accountability. If you would look at the final proposals of these two groups, you'll see that the review mechanism is around these decisions is excluded from the proposals, because the CCNSO and the CCTLD community at large need to develop a policy around this area. I hope this answers your question, Steve.
Thank you very much, Bart. And Steve, Metalis, and everyone else, if you have a follow-up or indeed other questions for any of us, please type it in the chat, or we will get to a question and answer near the end. Coming back to the activities of the GNSO at ICANN 56, as David Olive noted at the outset of this webinar, this is a different, slightly shorter policy development-oriented forum for the ICANN community. So as you've already heard, there will be significant time set aside for meetings of the various PDP working groups. In addition to the three that we talked about earlier in this webinar, the Curative Rights Protection for International Governmental Organizations and International Non-Governmental Organizations will also be having an open working group meeting, as that is one of the other ongoing PDPs within the GNSO. The GNSO will also have meetings with the Governmental Advisory Committee, or the GAC, whose activities you'll be hearing from in a little bit, and they'll also be meeting with members of the ICANN board in the course of the 4 days. As many of you know, the GNSO typically at the so-called regular ICANN public meetings has full weekend sessions. They will have some version of that at Helsinki on the Monday, starting in the morning, going through to early afternoon, where some of the topics will include the implementation plan for some of the changes that are expected to come out of the recently concluded GNSO review. Quite a lot of time will also be spent talking about some of the changes and procedural updates, adjustments that will need to be made in order to accommodate the GNSO's new roles, responsibilities, and obligations as a result of the bylaws change that affect the INS stewardship transition. On top of these sessions, for the PDPs that have been concluded and had their recommendations adopted at least in part by the ICANN board, there will also be meetings for the implementation review teams that have been formed for these efforts, and this includes the Thick Who Is policy implementation, as well as implementation of those few protection of IGO and INGO identifiers that have been adopted by the ICANN board. The GNSO Council meeting will also be held as per normal. And some of the topics that it'll be discussing during that council meeting, which will be held on the Thursday morning, is listed on that slide. And finally, the GNSO on Thursday afternoon will do a wrap-up of what looks to be a very intense and hectic but substantive 4 days for the community. I'm going to hand you over now to Heidi Ulrich, who will talk to you about the at-large and the at-large advisory committee and their plans for ICANN 56. Heidi?
Thanks very much, Mary. Hello, everyone. My name is Heidi Ulrich. I'm the Senior Director for At-Large. I'm delighted to give you a brief update on the activities of the At-Large Advisory Committee, or the ALAC, and the at-large community that have taken place between ICANN meetings in Marrakesh and Helsinki, as well as provide a preview of at-large activities that are being planned to take place at the ICANN 56 meeting. So first, the ALAC and at-large activities since ICANN 55. Related to policy, between these two meetings, the ALAC submitted 5 policy advice statements in response to public comments. These statements included statements on the draft framework of principles for cross-community working groups, the final report recommendation of the Geographic Regions Review Working Group, the draft ICANN Fiscal Year 17 Operating Plan and Budget, and the 5-year operating plan update, along with the draft new ICANN bylaws. In addition, the ALAC also responded to the request for feedback from 2 GNSO PDP working groups. And these were the PDP on the next generation RDS to replace WHOIS, and the new GTLD subsequent procedures. The ALAC also submitted a proposal for a multi-year planning of at-large face-to-face meetings, and this was recently approved. Other policy activities include holding several capacity-building webinars on substantive issues of interest to the at-large community. These webinars are part of an ongoing series and are open to all. More information on ALAC policy advice statements may be found at the URL listed on the slide. Related to process, a key activity has been the at-large review, and the review has now started with the group items being selected as independent examiner. The at-large review is focusing on the at-large structures, or ALSs, and the regional at-large organizations, or the RALOs. And I'll speak a little bit more about this review on the next slide. ALAC is also updating its rules of procedure, specifically the sections about selection and election-related matters. And this is in advance of the anticipated start of the selection process for the director to the board selected by at-large. So at ICANN 56, there are going to be several areas of focus. Related to policy and process, the ALAC will discuss the next steps with the new ICANN bylaws, including developing the internal processes that will be needed. The ALAC will also review the status of their working groups, of which there are currently 20. They'll provide an update on the ALS Criteria and Expectations Task Force, which is running in parallel with the at-large review, and discuss implementation of their approved fiscal year 17 special requests in addition to a number of other issues. As noted earlier, another main topic is the at-large review. The at-large review working party will review timelines and reference documents for use by the members of ITEMS. Also, ITEMS will be conducting interviews with members of at-large and other communities during the meeting in Helsinki. Regarding outreach and engagement, similar to the meeting in Marrakesh, there will be a few interesting sessions to increase awareness and knowledge of the activities of at-large. The first is being held by the Subcommittee on Outreach and Engagement, and they are going to be meeting with the NextGen students on Monday, 27th of June, between 10:45 and noon, as well as a policy discussion with the ALAC and the fellows later that day between 1330 and 1500. The aims of these two sessions is for these groups to increase their understanding of the ALAC and at-large. And in addition, a joint URALO civil society networking event will be taking place on Tuesday evening, 28th of June, between 1830 and 1930. And this session is going to be held in the same room as the President and CEO reception. It is open to members of URALO and the Civil Society Engagement Contact Group, as well as anyone interested in learning more about these groups. Now, moving on to the regional events taking place during ICANN 56. there'll be several meetings, both formal and informal, of all of the RALOs. URALO will be holding its General Assembly on the 28th of June between 8 and 10. This is a non-face-to-face General Assembly. The agenda includes a review of the URALO Annual Report, a briefing by the URALO Bylaws Task Force, and the launch of the URALO ALS Engagement Task Force. And as noted earlier, there will be a civil society and a URALO networking event on Tuesday. AFRALO will be holding their traditional joint AFRALO-AFRICOM meeting on Wednesday, the 29th of June, between 1330 and 1500. And the theme will be on the IANA transition and accountability, ICANN accountability, and a statement will be discussed and then submitted to the board. NORALO's monthly meeting will be taking place on Wednesday, the 29th of June, between 1330 and 1500. This meeting will be focusing on discussions such as their outreach strategy, activities, and preparations for the NORALO General Assembly to be held in fiscal year 17. Finally, the RALO secretariats, consisting of the leaders from all of the RALOs, will be meeting on Tuesday between 1330 and 1500, and some of their items they will be discussing include the recommendations from the second at-large summit, just finalizing those, and the at-large review, as well as other issues concerning all of the RALOs. And that concludes the AULAC and at-large update, and I would like to give the floor to my colleague, Olaf Nordling, who will be providing an update on the GAC. Olaf?
Thank you very much, Heidi, and good evening from Brussels. My name is Olaf Nordling, and I'm responsible for ICANN staff support to the Governmental Advisory Committee, more well known perhaps as the GAC, which currently has 168 governments as members and 35 intergovernmental organizations as observers, and they will have a busy time indeed in Helsinki, since they usually, in the classical ICANN meeting format, have 5 long days of work. And now this is squeezed down to 4 very short days for individual work. So the agenda is jam-packed for the GAC Monday to Thursday. And just to give a few samples of the topics they will address, 2 character labels and country names as second-level domains. What on earth is that? That's a remaining issue from the latest new DTLD round and entails actually an ongoing and pretty lengthy dialogue with the Global Domains Division of ICANN on implementation steps and, in particular, the mitigation of confusion between 2 characters in general, and which can be perceived as country codes. So that's 1, GAC advice effectiveness. How has it worked with the GAC advice to the board, and is there ways of improving it? This is something that will be discussed by a joint working group between the board and the GAC. Those 2 sessions will take place on Monday. Privacy and proxy services, there is a recent policy development process that produced from the GNSO that produced a number of recommendations, and the GAC has some views on some details on these recommendations, which will be further developed in a session. And IGO, acronyms protection, I think that has been mentioned by Mary earlier on, but and this is also a remaining issue from the recent new DTLD round, and where there is a temporary protection in place, but there is, let's put it like some wrinkles in the positions between the GNSO and the GAC on how the permanent solution should look like. So these are a few samples. There are plenty more of sessions, which you can, of course, see from the overall schedule, but also there is a specific schedule which is slightly more detailed on the GAC website. And all of the GAC plenary sessions are open. Yes, you heard right. They are all open the GAC plenary sessions. And with that, this is not all, of course, so let's now turn the page and also make a giant leap to Los Angeles and to Karine Percy, who will tell you more about what the GAC has in store. Karine, take it away, please.
Thank you, Olaf. Hello, everybody. My name is Karine Percy, and I'm part of the GAC support team, as Olaf said, based out of Los Angeles. So to continue on the GAC's agenda for ICANN 56, in Helsinki, the GAC plans to actively participate in many of the afternoon cross-community sessions with all the other ICANN stakeholders. The GAC is also leading one of the cross-community sessions, specifically the one on workload scheduling and management on Thursday afternoon. So just a few words on this workload session that will be moderated by the GAC chair. It follows up on the Marrakesh Communique, where the GAC flagged the large number of activities across ICANN taking place in parallel, and many of which call for significant community input. So the idea is to discuss how to balance the different communities' priorities and improve broad participation in some of these activities, especially the PDPs and CCWGs. So the session will mainly be about collecting input and ideas from the whole community on how to prioritize and organize some of these activities that interest the broad community, with, for example, things like year-long planning or prioritization exercises, et cetera. In Helsinki, all the GAC's working groups will meet as well to advance their work on geographic names, on capacity building for underserved regions, and that session will have helpful assistance from the ICANN teams on global stakeholder engagement and government engagement, on public safety as well. And this, the public safety work by the GAC's working group looks at different aspects of the DNS and the IP whois, as well as security and consumer protection in the DNS or the ICANN ecosystem. The GAC Working Group on Human Rights and International Law will also get together Wednesday, and then some more internally focused working groups on GAC operating principles and GAC NOMCOM relations will also convene. The GAC will also meet with other SOACs, as some of the others have mentioned, as well as with the Competition, Consumer Trust, and Consumer Choice Review Team. Some of them at least. And for the first time, the GAC communique will be finalized on Thursday instead of the traditional Wednesday night. It's also important to point out the communique format itself is evolving to articulate in more detail the rationales for GAC advice. And as Olaf said, the GAC room and meetings are now completely open so that anybody who wishes to can attend. So welcome. Please come to the sessions you're interested in. And now I would like to hand it over to Steve Cheng for the RSEC update. Thank you. Steve?
Thank you, Karine. This is Carlos Reyes presenting on behalf of Steve Cheng, who could not join us for this session. I'll be updating everyone on the activities of the Root Server System Advisory Committee. Just as a quick overview, the RSAC is comprised of 12 board-appointed representatives of the root server operators. There are three root zone management partner representatives, as well as liaisons. The RSAC meets monthly, as well as at ICANN meetings. And the two co-chairs are currently Trippi Sinha from DRoot and Brad Verd from A&J Roots. The RSAC also consists of a caucus of 74 technical experts. 47% of them actually do not work in root server operations, so they bring other skill sets and expertise in DNS root service. In the past 2 years, they've published three advisories, including three versions of one advisory, and this group is a broader membership-based organization. So qualified or interested applicants may submit statements of interest for consideration. Since ICANN 55, the RSAC has published its third version of its advisory on measurements of the root server system. This updated version offers several clarifications based on implementation experience, and these measurements help meet the requirements of RSEC 001, which is an advisory on service expectations of root server operators. Currently, the RSEC is working on two documents, the Root Server System Naming Scheme Work Party, which documents a technical history of the names assigned to individual root servers, and a history of the root server system. And that's a separate document which provides an overview of and a chronological history of the root server system, as well as descriptions of each root server operator. And with that, I'll hand it over to my colleague Julie Hedlund, who will present on the Security and Stability Advisory Committee. Julie?
Thank you very much, Carlos, and thank you, everyone. This will be very brief. First, I would like to highlight the two publications that the SHAC has released since ICANN 55. So the first of the two publications, SAC 81, that is, and actually I was going to, sorry about that. So that is the SAC response to the request for input on next generation GTLD RDS to replace WHOIS policy development process. This was actually a fairly brief response. At least a couple of the SAC members do participate in this group, and they did have some suggestions based on their understanding of the RDS and the work of the group. And as you know, and Mary Wong spoke of the work of the RDS. Lisa Pfeiffer spoke on this work earlier today. But they made a couple of minor comments in respect to a questionnaire that the working group had sent out. And then the SAC 82 was the response for the request for advice relating to the 2012 new generic top-level domain round. This was from the PDP Working Group on New GTLD Subsequent Procedures. And in the RSAC's response, it pointed to its list of publications, because many of its publications actually do pertain to GTLDs. And it noted a couple of publications that relate to name collisions and scaling of the root. So those two documents can be found on the SAC website. And then just moving along to, more importantly, the activities of the SAC at Helsinki. This activity in particular is the DNSSEC workshop. That will be held on Monday, June 27th, from 9:15 in the morning until 1:30 in the afternoon. And this is an important workshop for the updates on DNSSEC deployment. As noted, DNSSEC deployment is moving forward, and this is a particularly interesting session for those people who are engaged in this deployment, such as registries, registrars, ISPs, and others who may be planning to deploy DNSSEC services or are deploying them. So who should attend? Really, anybody with an interest in the deployment of DNSSEC. You don't have to be somebody who's actually deploying. You could be just somebody who's interested. The workshop actually covers topics that are suitable for beginners, intermediates, and experts on DNSSEC. So we welcome you all to that session. And now I would like to turn things over to Benedetta for the Q&A. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Julie. My name is Benedetta Rossi. I'm Policy and Community Engagement Analyst, and I'll be handling the question and answer session followed by a couple of updates. So to ask a question, please press star 1 and record your name. Just wait a moment to see if we have any questions. Operator, do we have any questions on the audio?
There are currently no questions on queue.
Thank you very much. Well, if you have any questions following the webinar or would like to stay updated with the policy development support team, please use the team email address policy-staff@icann.org. You may also follow us on Twitter using the handles that are shown on the slide here. If you're new to the policy development process but would like to join a GNSO working group, you'll be interested in the two newcomer sessions, which are held at the start of every PDP working group, a communication tools classroom, which is led by staff, to learn about the working group tools and ask questions, and a working group newcomer webinar, which is community-led and whose focus is helping newcomers familiarize themselves with the policy development process and better understand how to engage within the GNSO working group setting. The next sessions will take place in July, and the dates are yet to be confirmed. In preparation for ICANN 56, also please don't forget to download the ICANN 56 mobile application, which will help you access meeting information on the go, personalize your meeting schedule, connect with fellow attendees, and post feedback on the sessions you attend. To help attendees prepare for the Helsinki meeting, a pre-ICANN 56 policy forum report will be posted as of early next week on the ICANN 56 meeting page. The report will provide attendees further information on the cross-community sessions and updates from the various SOs and ACs. After the meeting, we will also release a post-ICANN 56 report, which will include results and outcomes of the meeting, and this will be posted in July. I will now turn it over to David Olive for his closing remarks. So thank you, and over to you, David.
Thank you, Benedetta, and I want to thank our people on the webinar tonight or in the time zone that you're in. We appreciate your participation and the active questions. There's a good mixture of veteran ICANN participants, some chairs or co-chairs of working groups, as well as some new faces and new names to join our discussion, and we welcome that. The policy team is actively preparing for the sessions in Helsinki. And as noted, the morning sessions are really the general working groups, council meetings, and the like, with the afternoon sessions being reserved for just discussions. So many of those participants in the morning sessions will be having time on their hands to participate and actively be involved in those discussions on the topics that we've listed. But to help you be prepared for that, we will be putting into the program and onto the ICANN 56 application various links to the background materials we've cited, some of which on this webinar, that will help you direct your attention to some of the background materials, questions, and other topics that will be a part of those, form part of those discussions in the afternoon in Helsinki. With that, I would like to thank all of you for your involvement in today's webinar. We hope it has prepared you for the next step, and we will see you either in person or remotely at ICANN 56, the policy forum. We do want you to listen in, participate, and at the end session on Thursday, there will be a feedback session to comment on this new approach that we're taking for an ICANN meeting. This webinar was an attempt to try to change that format into the way that would link to our discussions in Helsinki, and so we look forward to hearing your views on how that will go and what improvements we can make going forward. So with that, a pleasure to facilitate all your work, and we look forward to seeing you all in Helsinki in person or remotely. I wish everyone a good evening, good afternoon, or good morning, wherever you may be. Thank you very much.